Yitzchak Neli HaKoin, Orbach, David and Alan's father. I just finished the Shiva this morning. So, Selimoy Shibi Leilunish Mato. I was asked to speak about current and future options as far as purchasing things on Shemitah. So, I'll just begin with a quick review and I'll ask you for all your input on just on what are the current available options for Yad Binyamin residents. I'll tell you, what I know, and everyone's welcome to it, with the Machzaneh HaShuk inside is working with Heter Mechira, all right, and everything, all the produce inside is just assumed to be other Heter Mechira. There's a Shemitah store on the outside of Machzaneh HaShuk, still working, all right, which has the stuff through the Badatz Beit Yosef, which is linked very much with Rav Efrati. They basically, and a lot of the fresh vegetables are still working with Yuval Nofri, I believe. They have some of the storage vegetables. There's not that much Kedusha Shvias, I assume, if they're okay, because one of the major issues, which is an issue in terms of that, the primary source of Kedusha Shvias fresh vegetables which we've had was stuff that began growing last year and continue into this year, which the Rambam does not hold by. The Rambam does not allow that. Therefore, the Beit Yosef didn't allow that either. And therefore, you didn't have, which most of the other Shemitah stores had, the primary Kedusha Shvias, the vegetables that began growing in end of last year and continue growing, they didn't have in that store. And pretty much, I think, in many places, we're sort of petering out, or the next month or two, we'll be petering out of that anyway. The yeshiva has a... Yeah.
I think that they put up a sign that tells you exactly which produce is shishit and which is not.
Okay, right. So the shishits will mostly be the storage vegetables, okay,
right.
Potatoes and carrots and stuff like that. Okay. So you should check if you go to the store. You should check on the sign, see if you have what it's okay. Right. For those who may know what it is, you just check. You can check which item. Where it comes from. The yeshiva has in their chadar ochel twice a week, I believe on Monday evening and Thursday afternoon. They also have a shemitah, they also sell in the chadar ochel, they sell shemitah produce. One thing they do ask, since it's a relatively small enterprise, mostly for the yeshiva, if someone does want to buy there on a regular basis, they should, and they would like them to sign up, and let them know ahead of time roughly what you expect to buy, so they can order properly. I guess if you're going once, it doesn't make much of a difference, but if you go there and you find it convenient and you want to buy them on a more regular basis, you should let them know ahead of time roughly what you expect to buy so they can take that into account when ordering. Going a little bit further, they have in Karen Biavne, they have on, in Rehovot, there is an Otzar Haaretz branch in Rehovot, on Rehov Habanim. He goes once a week to Karen Biavne on Tuesday evenings, okay, and Tuesday evenings from 7:30, after 7:30 he gets to Karen Biavne, so on Tuesday evenings that's another option. I know Yitz is a Debbie Ghost, and well, she's in Yerushalayim, she buys Yerushalayim there.
Phil has the, Phil, yeah.
The
ad
comes from
Stay Road. Right, there is a delivery service here, that's the one you were talking about, someone else.
Yeah.
Right, so he comes from Stay Road.
Okay. Every Tuesday it comes at like 7:30 at night. We have to order ahead of time. We use our OTRS coupons and everything.
And he comes here Tuesday nights? He comes here? Okay. Like this, comes to Thursday. What?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You can, if you sign up on OTRS, you can either it's preferable rather than paying with cash. Do it through paying ahead of time and sort of having it come off. So those of you who want to sign up to OTRS, it's the preferred way to do that. And you order sometime at the beginning of the week, and he brings it Tuesday night.
But you don't have to have the coupons to order. You also have credit cards, right?
Yeah.
You can also pay a credit card.
Fine. Okay. Fine. So that's another option. It is. You have the phone number available, or if they choose it, if you want to look up on Otzaharetz, okay, he's listed there on Otzaharetz. It's listed under
Yad
Binyamin. It says Mishlochim, and it has the email and the phone number of someone who wants to. Okay, okay, so that's currently what I'm aware of.
So he also charges 15 shekels for delivery. But you 15? Also don't get yelled at by your wife for picking out bad fruit or anything.
But the stuff he picks.
Oh, so he picks before it.
But the stuff that he picks.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
The wife doesn't scream at all. She doesn't scream at you.
You.
What?
The important one.
What?
Yeah, she doesn't scream at you.
Right. Okay. So the quality she gets,
it's good
quality. Okay. Fine. Okay. So those are one who wants to say, let's put this way. Figure the gas to whatever it goes back and forth. 15 shekels, 2 liters of gas. Okay. So pretty much anywhere you're driving out of Yad Binyamin, pretty much, of course, the same as addition to this to the time saving. Okay, so that's certainly a very good option. Okay, anyone else? I said, if anyone is in any other city, if you just look on Otsa Haaretz, just Google in Otsa Haaretz, and they have a listing of Sarod Otsa Haaretz. They have snifim, they have branches, and then they have the snifim and the branches. They have in each city where the various branches of Otsa Haaretz, and if one wants to. Can do that. Okay, so that's pretty much the on a pragmatic level what we have now. And yeah,
would you mind commenting on what, if any, mitzvah there is for eating produce without
specific? Okay, so one can ask: is there any? We spoke about stuff having kedusha shvias. Is kedusha shvias just relevant for the leftovers? It's also relevant for the stuff that you will be eating. For example, you have a tomato. Let's assume that a tomato is, let's say you're going to cut the tomato and leave the, and you're not going to bother cutting at the top, okay? So you have a tomato, so you're not going to have any leftovers of the tomato, okay? Or you have a cherry tomato where there's no leftovers. Is there any difference between a cherry tomato or a tomato of shvius and non-shvius? So this is the Ramban mentions as one of the mitzvahs I say, the idea of counts one of the 613 by Tasha Bat Aras Lachem Le'ochla, from which the Gemara derives that one is supposed to eat Perot Shviyat and not waste it and not sell it, but Chadomeh. The question is, so what are we supposed to infer from that? Clearly it's saying that you're supposed to use it for this and not for other things. But the question is the Vaitasha Ba'arz Lachem La'ochla, is that itself a mitzvah, or is it just that we're supposed to infer what we're not supposed to do, or is what eating itself, is itself a considered part of a mitzvah tase? The Ramban, who counts it as a mitzvah tase, is it just mean a mitzvah tase in terms of you're supposed to do X and not do A, B, and Z? Or is telling you supposed to, that there actually is a mitzvah eating it, similar to the Matzah on the other days of Pesach? There's a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, but according to the Gra, any matzah you eat the rest of Pesach, although it's optional, but by doing so you are fulfilling a mitzvah. Some say, according to Ramban, you may be fulfilling a mitzvah when you are eating the perot shvi'ah. So that's part of the idea. So there are two aspects two advantages of eating stuff just kedusha shvi'ah. So you may be fulfilling it by a mitzvah of Vaitash Ba'aretz Lachem La'ochla, and by doing so you're also supporting the Jewish farmers who are putting in the efforts to try to observe the Shemitah in a permissible manner. Okay, so that's what I got. All right, any other specific questions? Okay, but I wanted to share with you one of the things which is coming up now. As you mentioned, that the vegetables from that began growing in Shemitah is pretty much going to be finishing. What's going to start kicking in now is produce that is going to be grown in the southern part of the country, in the Arava. Until now, it was a little bit too hot. Stuff wasn't growing there yet, but as it went through, it's cooling down, stuff started growing there, and therefore to focus part of the shiur on where is the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, which a lot of the stuff you will see will now begin to be labeled Gvolei Mitzrayim, Arava, to have some sense of what it is all about. Okay, so I'd like to pass around, should be enough. Okay, two maps that I photocopied, from one from this sefer here, and one I took off from the website of Otsa Haaretz. I had a poke around until I found something with a map, but anyway. Okay. I wish it was a straight map, but I did find it finally. Okay, apparently I have a problem with my printer, it's a band that doesn't come out. But, okay, alright. So, let me just, as a word of explanation, we know that in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah promised to have, there is in Parshas Maaseh, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and it gives the various cities in the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. It says it begins from Nachal Mitzrayim and heads towards Yam HaMelach. and goes underneath Ma'aleh Akrabim. So the Torah gives a border in Parshas Maaseh, which we assume is basically the border of the Eretz Am Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael in times of Yeshua, presumably they captured until that point. We know later that we say Kedushas Rishona is considered was when Am Yisrael went to Golus in times of Babel, the Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha and was re-sanctified when Ezra came back from Babel. However, the Yishuv in the time of the second Bayis Sheni was a little bit smaller than it was during the time of the Bayis Rishon. There were some places up in the more northern part of the country, but these parts we don't really have any clear identification of, and therefore we don't really pay that much attention to it on a practical level. But the southern border becomes very, very relevant, and especially as more and more of the Negev began getting developed, so it became a very, very relevant question. There may be areas that are, pluses, with the various pluses and minus entailed, that may not be considered having Kedushas Haaretz, so as far as Mitzvahs HaTluyas Baaretz, even though it's considered in the state of Israel, but there may not be limitations as far as Shemitah, because halachically we may consider it not as part of Eretz Israel, as relevant also not just during the Shemitah year, for Trumos or Maisis, the entire 6 years from those areas, do we have to mafish Trumos or Maisis, or can I take tomatoes from there and be mafish? Even if I will be machmir there, but I can't, can I take the tomatoes from there and use that as tumas and vegetables that grew in Yad Binyamin? Because you have to have things of equal level. If you're doing one thing as a chomer, you can't be machmir from that as something which is chayv meikar din. So this became a very, very burning question. Where is the border, the southern border, the southern halachic border of Eretz Yisrael as far as mitzvah sathuyos baretz? I should mention, just there is an opinion of Tykuchinsky, who mentions that once the state of Israel with its army captured these areas, then that itself may endow it with Kedusha, even if it wasn't have Kedusha from Olei Babel, from Olei Mitzrayim. Now that Am Yisrael as a nation captured this area, it did acquire Kedusha. It's generally not accepted by the Poskim, I believe. Okay? Maybe people who live in Eilat have a little bit of a different, Eilat's a little different issue. Generally we look, most posts can look for some sort of border. So let me just see what we have here. Don't know if I'm supposed to start on the board.
Okay. I can't wait for the talk to be
done. Okay. So I just want to say, so this is a sefer of Shvita Tassar. This is the first map. Shvita Tassar by Rav Zalman, Shneir Zalman Reva. Okay, who has also a makon, it's called Hamachon Mitzvot HaTliot Baretz. Okay, Moshe Beit Uziel. He's very well known. He's very involved in fish. Okay, he's the one of bugs and fish, parasites and fish. That's his expertise. But he also learned about Mitzvot HaTliot Baretz. And he has what he considers the proper board is based on the Shitas HaRambam. It's a little bit hard to read, but basically if you see what he's doing, he's following various vadis.
On the left or the right?
On the right. He's following basically the vadis of that exist. Okay, many mefarshim associate Nachum Mitzrayim with Vadi El Arish. And so if you look at sort of on the beginning on the left, the western is the line which he considers. The border, as you see basically the shaded part, okay, goes down to a whole series of vadis, okay, and there's one which begins sort of at the halfway down where it levels out, just over here. Okay, this is the beginning, this is Vadi El Arish over here, and it ties into a couple of other vadis going here, because a vadi called Vadi Tzion here. Okay, so he basically considers this as the border of with the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, according to him, all the yeshuvim underneath it, okay, which include Yahel, Yatvas, whatever, all these yeshuvim underneath, all this area underneath is not considered Eretz Yisrael at all, and therefore there's no aspect of Shemitah. Now, I should mention the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Perek, in the Shemitah, Shavuos, Perek, Vav, Mishnah Aleph, which divides Eretz Yisrael into three places. If there's any area that was captured also by Olei Babel, or the people who came back from Babel, Eino Nevad, Veino Neachal, that you're not allowed to work there on Shemitah, and according to the Rambam's explanation, there is an Isur Sfichim for stuff that grew, that was grown there prohibited by itself, vegetables. And it says, areas of Aleph Mitzrayim, that the first Kedusha, people coming from Mitzrayim, Yeshua captured, but wasn't captured by Aleph Bavel. That's the Eino Ne'avad, you're not allowed to work there. Aval Ne'achal, which according to means they did not impose an Issa Sikhim over there. And areas which are not beyond that, Ne'achal Ne'avad, there is no limitation of working. And therefore, according to his, he takes a kind of Lekula Lechumra, makes this a cut over here. Anything below this, he holds is permissible to even work there, okay? And anything above this, he considers as not allowed. There is a small triangle here below Ashkelon, which he calls, this is what he considers Gvul Olei Mitzrayim. Now, see the Mishnah in the beginning of Gittin describes Ashkelon as the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore all this area over here was not included in Olei Mitzvavel. They didn't capture this area, came out from Bavel. And therefore, in this area here, you'll have that leniency of Olei Mitzrayim, which is a little bit less, which you're still not allowed to work in the normal situations, but you are allowed to, there is no Yisra of Sfichim over there for stuff which ended up going by itself. We'll come to that in a minute, right?
You're talking about on the Egyptian side of the border?
No, this is, let's put it this way, a lot of this is the current Aza, okay? But if you want to see, you can see, you see Nirim. You see, Nirim is just to the left of the line. It's a little hard to see, but you have. It'll be a little bit easier if I have the original here. When you were in the summer, you may have heard about various places in that area. Okay. You have Nachal Oz. Nachal Oz is just on the line. Okay, Be'eri is just within the border. You have Re'im just over to the left of the border. You have Nirim further in. A lot of, unfortunately, have the incidents there in the summer in Nirim. Okay, you have Nir Yitzchak, Kerem Shalom, Tamei Yosef, Bnei Etzion. So there are a couple of Yishuvim that are just over there in that area over there. We have another area over here, like Ein Yahav, Zophar over here. Okay, and then you have areas below. You have Yehel, Ktura, Yotvata, Eliphaz, Eloth. You have various Yishuvim in the southern area. Okay, so according to him, they, as I said, the yeshiva basically gets their stuff from his stuff. So he will allow from Arava, he will take anything below this line, he will allow. Okay? If you look at this other map, okay, you'll see that he has interesting. He says, Nididat ha-gvul hadromi shel gvulot maseh b'shnot ha-shmitah tashlag tashzah. He's basically pointing out that over the course of the year, over the course of the last 35 years, to Tanasim Shemitah, the Rabbanim, the Badatzim have changed their position as to what the border was. Okay, he has a fairly northern border. Okay, this is what was sort of accepted in Tavshana Megimel, based on Shmuel Lieberman, who was very involved in preparing the Tosefta. Okay, just basically to get a sense, the border that you were seeing now was more or less Nachal Paran. What we just saw is pretty much the middle border. See, it says Nachal Paran. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's more or less parallel to what we saw on the other map. Okay, but there was a much more northern border, all right, which was sort of accepted till 1973, based on the interpretation of Shmuel Lieberman. Okay, then you have a little bit below that. You have Vul Eretz Yisrael B'Tavshin Samach Al Pi B'Das Eidach Eretz Yerushalayim. Okay, so the Eidach Eretz Yerushalayim had a little bit of a lower border. Okay, then they have B'Das Gvul Eretz Yisrael B'Tashmaz Al Pi B'Das Minchat Yitzchak, which is said it's more or less adapted also by Rebbe. Okay, then you have Vul Eretz Yisrael B'Tavshin Samachet Al Pi B'Das Yerushalayim. Okay, in the Badatz going changing from Tavshin Samach to Tavshin Samaches was much more machmir and cut out basically all the yeshuvim in this area, which they allowed in Tavshin Sam, they allowed 2 shmitas ago, but last shmita they already did not allow from there. And then you have Blair Tzisrael Tashal, Pi Badatz Yeredea, which is a Bivrach Machpud, was even more machmir, he counted much lower. So just to mention,
how do they change this? Like every few
years? No. The question is, okay, what basically happens is that there is a famous Tosefta which appears in Tosefta in Yerushalmi and one other source of it, the Sefer Yerushalmi and the Sifrei. The Sifrei, which has a list of like 40 places there, demarks very, very clearly what the borders are, but we don't know exactly what these places are. So the researchers suggest all kinds of other, suggest, make suggestions, but we can't say definitively what they are. So these are different positions, different surmises of what are the places mentioned on that map, and therefore, so what's basically happening is that at one point they took a certain interpretation, and then we say, well, we're not sure that that is in fact the correct interpretation. We want to be safer, and we take and take other identifications of these places, which is a further route. If you go back to the first thing here, based on the Rambam, understand the Rambam as referring to the straight line here is a 30 latitude of 30. Someone sent the Rambam, held that over there. Right. All this, again, as a consumer, is not that relevant for us, because whatever it is, but what is important to mention. In the area of Nabalei Mitzrayim, some of the issues related to the Hetzer Mechira are less problematic. Okay, first of all, we mentioned that there's no, in the area of Olei Mitzrayim, there's no issue of Sfichin. Okay, if a person refuses to accept the Hetzer Mechira, the biggest problem you can fall in any vegetables grown in those areas, if you don't rely on it, if the farm used the Hetzer Mechira and the person doesn't want to rely on it, he may be dealing with Sfichin, which is the biggest kashrus issue. But because in Olei Mitzrayim there is no Isser Sfichim, you will not fall, even as worse comes to worse, it's not going to be Sfichim in those areas anyway. Furthermore, the Minchaschich and other Mepharshim, can there may not be any Isser Lot Chanein in areas which don't have current Kedusha. And therefore, the two biggest issues of the Hetzer Mechira, of the Erev Sfichim and Lot Chanein, according to many Mepharshim, do not apply in areas of Olei Babel. In the Otsar Haaretz, and therefore the suggestion of many Rabbanim was in all these areas, which are sort of the southern areas or the triangle over here, to use in addition, since again, based on the assumption maybe out of Eretz Yisrael anyway, or to use a Hetzer Mechira L'Chumra in addition. And therefore, a lot of the Otsar Haaretz you'll find in the Otsar Haaretz, they require that these southern yeshuvim, that they also, as a backup, a safety net, that they also use a heter mechira. So they're a little bit more, so they have a plus and a minus, because they're relying on the heter mechira. Anyway, they're a little bit more lenient about how far up they're willing to go, because they have the backdrop of, Rebbach will just draw a line here. Above that, no. Below that, yes. Okay, they're more, the Otsa'aretz is more mahmir in terms of the good part of the Arava, as far as requiring Hetzer Mechira, but with the Hetzer Mechira, they'll even allow a little bit higher up, since they have that safety net anyway. So that's why if you'll see various signs about Gvul Olei Mitzrayim, okay, Gvul Olei Mitzrayim will have to be in conjunction with Hetzer Mechira, because you can't do work in Olei Mitzrayim without a Hetzer Mechira. You know, as we said, it's a Sfichim, will close by itself. But any commercial enterprise cannot be done there. You can't work the land in a regular manner. So that certainly will be in conjunction with the Hetzer Mechira and the Arava. Some place that would just be below a certain amount, whatever each cautious organization, what it feels is below, it may be without any Hetzer Mechira. The assumption we consider the halacha chutz la'aretz, and therefore there's no shemitah over there. And it said outside of Aretz, they will pre-machmir l'chatchila. As far as they're doing a Hetzer Mechira anyway, they will tell all these southern yeshuvim to do a Hetzer Mechira in addition, and therefore it has to extra safety.
Anybody in Tumot
HaMasot? Again, will depend on the various shittas, but Manashach, either it's Chutzlaretz or it'll be Shvius. So one way, if it has Kedusha, then it's Shvius, doesn't have Chosen Maestros. If it's Chutzlaretz, it doesn't need Chumas HaMaestros. So therefore, the general won't be an issue. The rest of the years, you have Chumas HaMaestros, but not this year. Okay, so this is just to get a little bit of a sense of, because you'll probably now be seeing more and more Arava, to know what it's all about, or Olei Mitzrayim Arava. These are certain things which, as I mentioned, either may not have Kedushas Aretz, or even if it does have Kedushas Aretz, then there may have been a Hetzer Mechira used in conjunction, which has a much stronger basis than possibly other places in the country. So even those who may not rely on Hechtamachir elsewhere, there's much more basis to rely on it in these areas.
Should it be considered conditioned sphere or not?
That's a very interesting question, Shuzmer. In theory, it shouldn't be Chutz L'Manasha. Either it's going to be Hetem Mechira or it's going to be Chutz L'Aret. It may not be a Beit HaDin nonetheless, since we're not exactly sure what is, what isn't. And I think they recommend... What?
Depends who you ask.
Okay, and like Al-Sar Ha'aretz, when they use Hetem Mechira L'Chum, I don't know whether they...
I don't think they tell people.
I think they say that Shuzmer without Kedushin, or they can do it without Kedushin.
So in principle, the Arava should not have to have Kedushas Shvias, because either you submit a Chutz L'Aretz or if Al Atzavet is, it would be in conjunction with the Hetem Mechira, which would again, of course, the most posts do not require. Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.